God is our strength, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, come, behold the works of the Lord.
God makes war cease to the end of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear.
People of God, be still and know that God is our God.
Friends, God makes war cease to the end of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God is a peace bringer. And so let us do our part here and now to share and spread that peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with one another. Brothers and sisters, good morning. On behalf of Jesus, who is our host, I want to welcome you to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ here in cold and wintry Stockbridge. Of all things we want you to know this morning is that we welcome each and every one of you just as you are, knowing that here in this room we encounter God's living Spirit, and all of us are going to leave this place changed. We welcome you this morning, no matter what your mood is and no matter what baggage you bring with you. Because here we know that God calls us to share our lives, sharing our hopes, our joys, and even our sorrows. And finally, we welcome you whether you are a saint, whether you are a sinner, or a bit of both. Because Christ makes it clear that he came for all of us. Friends, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, know that you are most welcome here. Among the many pieces of paper in your bulletin this morning, you should have noticed a green sheet. It is our weekly announcements. It tells you what's going on in the life of this church. You might want to get it out. While you are getting it out, I invite anyone who has an announcement to make to please come forward to this microphone at this time that you might do it.
I don't know about you, but it snuck up on me. It's Thanksgiving this week, and next Sunday is the beginning of Advent. So we want to get ready, since that's what Advent is about. And we're going to have right after church, we're going to be helping the Holly Fair, the Service League ladies get ready for the Holly Fair by moving around furniture. And then we're going to have a potluck lunch, and you're all invited, to bring something. And then we're going to do crafts for anybody who would like to stay. And we're also going to make candles, Advent wreaths. And if any of you have the frames from previous years, please bring them. But otherwise, we have plenty, and we have plenty of candles. And come and make an Advent wreath. Also, if you want to bring wire cutters, you don't have to bring them because we have other stuff, but you know, any of those things, greens, clippers, we'll put together your Advent wreaths. Thanks, and I hope every family will have one.
Good morning. This is the last week coming up for you to order the Christmas wreaths. There is a red flyer in your bulletin. If you'd like to fill it out and put it in the box in the Jonathan Edwards room, you can either do it that way or you can call Alice Wilmont and give her your order. That's my first one. The second one is, as you've just been told, the Holly Fair is the 7th of December. The setup is the 1st, which is next Sunday. We have a good crew for the setup. We are a little short of strong, abled men to take down. The takedown will be around 3 o'clock on the 7th. So if you didn't get a phone call, I apologize. I'm now calling you and asking if you could help on December 7th around 3 o'clock. And also we look forward to having any baked goods that any of you ladies would like to contribute to the baked food table. And we look forward to seeing you. And I think I have it on authority to say that Santa Claus will be here.
Good morning. With all the devastation from Hurricane Typhoon in the Philippines, people have been asking, how can I help? Where can I send some money where I know it will get to the right place and the right people to help? And the UCC, the National UCC, has put out a call. They're trying to raise $250,000. They have their own congregations in the Philippines that are handling the relief effort for them. And so I have printed up the information, and you can either go directly to the UCC website and make a donation online, or you can leave a check in the collection plate, and please be sure to make it out to First Congregational Church and put Hurricane Typhoon, Typhoon Haiyan in the memo line, and we'll make sure it gets to the right destination. There are sheets like this on the library table, so you can pick one up as you leave or before you leave today. Thanks. Another thing that's going to happen next week, December 1st, beginning of Advent, is that we are going to have our Christmas tree up with tags you can take and shop for local people that need an assist at Christmas time. That tree will probably be in here just because of all the moving of furniture that's going to go on, but we will make sure you'll be able to see it, and you'll have 2 weeks to do your shopping and get it back to us. Thanks.
A number of things to be engaged with here in this congregation. I also want to make sure to invite you once again to our community Thanksgiving worship service, which will be on Thanksgiving morning at 10:30 a.m. If you get here at 10 at the regular time, you'll just be early. But we will actually be joining with every house of worship in Stockbridge. St. Paul's, St. Joseph's, and the Marian Fathers will all be here. It will be a wonderful service of song and prayer and reflection. So I hope to see each and every one of you there. Now I'd like to invite any of the children who are present to come on forward. Good morning. Can we do better? Good morning.
Good morning.
Much better. So did your parents tell you when you got up today that today is New Year's Eve? They forgot to tell you that? They did. Well, we're going to have to talk to your parents. So today is New Year's Eve. Now, if you looked on a calendar, New Year's Eve isn't really today. That comes in another month. The calendar year ends at the end of December. But in the church year, today is New Year's Eve. I know it's kind of weird, right? But some things start at different times in the year, right? School starts in August or September and ends in June or July. So that starts weird too. But today is New Year's Eve for the church because every year the church year starts in Advent. It's a word you're going to be hearing a lot. Do you know what Advent is? Does anybody know what Advent is? Yeah, it's what you probably know is what comes after Advent, which is Christmas. But Advent are 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas. And what happens on Christmas morning? Yeah. That is true. Presents, absolutely. And what was the present that God gave us on Christmas morning? Yeah. Jesus was born. That's why we give presents to each other. So the church year, every year, starts in a time called Advent. And when you come back next week, this room's not going to look anything like it does now. There's going to be decorations all over the place. It's a great festive time for us to prepare for the coming of Jesus into our lives. And so today is actually the last day of the church year. And so today is a day where we in church are going to spend some time thinking about everything that has happened this year. Can any of you think of something that's happened in church this last year? Can you think of anything? Anything you did in Sunday school? Maybe an Easter egg hunt? Do you remember that? So we did an Easter egg hunt. Do you remember what we did on Palm Sunday? We came in waving palms, right? That was kind of fun, right? Yeah. We are in November. And that's when the church year ends, is in... That's true. Thanksgiving is coming up. You are absolutely right. Some other things that happened this year. Let me ask this question for the congregation. How many people in this room either started coming to the church this year or joined the church this year? Raise your hand if that applies to you. Raise it high. So look at that. Something new. This year new, we also have Tracy up there is now playing the organ for us. She's new, and we like that. Well, she's not new to us, but she's new in this role. So we like that, and we'll celebrate that. So one of the things that we do on this day is we think back about the last year, and we get ready to start a whole new year, a year that starts with us waiting for Jesus. So that's what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks, okay? All right, let us say the Lord's Prayer before we head off to Sunday school. Can we hold hands? Her hands, we make a circle. There we go. All right, let's pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you can go to class. Got it?
Our first reading for the day comes from the first chapter of Luke. It tells the story of the birth of John the Baptist and a blessing pronounced on him by his father, Zechariah. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to the people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the good news for today. Let us rejoice and give thanks.
Oh.
Our second reading for today also comes from Luke, this time the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. The people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And so, friends, whether you knew it or not when you came to today we come to the end of a church year. In some ways, I'm also amazed that we are also ending my first year here with you shortly. I hope that you've noticed in my time with you so far that I feel a real sense of calling. I feel a real sense of passion about how we as people of faith take all of this stuff, how we take the Bible, how we take worship, music, service, committee work, formation, and study, how we take all of that stuff and make it part of our actual lived lives, how we take all this great thinking of theologians, how we take everything that we know about God and don't keep it up here, but rather let it infuse our lives where the rubber meets the road? How do we take the joy and hope and the good news of everything we celebrate in this room and let it impact the hundreds of decisions we make every day? After all, if you remember what Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "People will know you. People will know that you follow me, not by what you say or by what you think. They will know you by your love. They will know you by you how you live." And so one of the questions that we have to ask ourselves is, how do we get into this model of Christian life? How do we actually live in a way that all of this stuff, this beautiful stuff, filters into our lives? There have been many metaphors out there that have been proposed for what it means to live a Christian life. Most of them have at their heart some idea of becoming, some idea of unfolding, that we are never quite there yet. This past week, Michelle shared with our disciples' Bible study a letter to the editor that was written in one of the local papers. The man who wrote that article said that we as human beings are always a work in progress, that we are evolving constantly into a deeper life and understanding of God. Perhaps of all the metaphors, the one that is most common is that our faith life is a journey. Today, I hope to share with you a little bit how I see that journey. Because like so many things in our faith life, what seems so simple often is not. The journey that I'm talking about in terms of our faith life is not a trip from A to B. It is not a straight line anywhere. Instead, I think our life in faith is a circular journey. If you think about it, every year as a church, we spend the entire year circling around the great stories of our faith, right? We start with Advent, and then there is Christmas, and then we remember Epiphany, and into Lent, and into Easter, and into Pentecost, and into all the stories that come. Every year, we circle these great stories to draw more and more meaning from them. And so, after this week, we are actually going to circle back to the beginning. Next week, we start Advent, the time we start the whole year over again. And so today, these texts have been picked out for us by the lectionary to help us reflect on the whole story and to help us find new meaning as we enter next year. Poet T.S. Eliot, a man who converted to Christianity as an adult, found his own faith journey molded and shaped by a woman named Julian of Norwich. She's a great woman from the 14th century in England. We don't know a ton about her, but here's what we do know. We do know that she was afflicted with a very serious illness, that she got very sick, and in the midst of that illness that lingered, she had very many visions of Christ. Visions that have come to be held up as true and faithful and optimistic. And despite this lingering illness, which by all accounts should have killed her, she came out from the other side with an enduring sense of optimism. What she said is that what she heard Jesus whispering in her ear time and time and time again is, "All shall be well." Eliot took that sense of optimism and infused it into some of his poetry, a faith that looks forward and trusts that God is still speaking, that God is still engaged, that we will evolve, and that at some point all indeed will be well. His Nobel Prize-winning poem, Four Quartets, contains a beautiful sentiment that I think really sums up the Christian life well. This comes from the final movement. He writes this. He says, "We shall not cease from exploration, and at the end of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know that place for the first time. And at the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know that place for the first time." It is the truth of our Christian journey and a most appropriate sentiment for this day as we get ready to go back to where it all started at the beginning of Advent. We will come back around next week to where we started And hopefully, as we wait for the Christ child to enter our lives again this year, we will know that place for the first time. We will experience it new and different and fresh. We will find truth that we have never seen before. Letty Russell was no poet like T.S. Eliot, but Letty Russell was a great woman of faith and theologian at Yale. And she described this seeing our starting place in a whole new way as a spiral. She described our life in faith as a spiral. She says that we set out on this year of ours, and we learn, and we worship, and we experience, and we reflect on it. And she says, when we come back to this day again next year, there is no way we can be in the same space. She says, instead, it's like a spiral. We come back again, but a little bit deeper. And next year, we will come back again, and yet a little bit deeper. We spend our lives, year after year, arriving back at the same starting point. And our challenge for this year is to figure out how we get back to that starting point and see it in a whole fresh new way. And I think these two passages today, if we take a look at them, will give us a great idea of just how to do that. They give us the scope of Jesus' arrival and ministry and life on earth. They start with this great song of Zechariah, where he sees in his infant son, John the Baptist, the one who is going to prepare the way of the Lord, the one who is going to allow Jesus to come and the light to shine forth. And then we get to this passage at the end. I bet none of you were expecting the crucifixion story today. But there on that cross is a poignant moment of grace as we look forward to next year. I think you'll notice that in your bulletins today, we actually gave you a copy of these texts. And I don't normally do this, but I actually would invite you to take these texts out because you may not remember exactly what Joanne said, and because I hope you'll take them home with you. What I see in these texts and what I want us to bring to the start of our year next year is ideas of remembrance, of mercy, and of hope. Let's look at this gorgeous first text from Zechariah. What I want you to notice in here is that Zechariah sings this beautiful song full of praise, remembrance, and God's mercy. He sees this new beginning in his little baby boy. And he recognizes it as a place where he has started before and sees it all new. Let's look at this passage for a minute. In here, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." He remembers back to the history of how God has shown up time and time and time again to remember us. He talks about God's servant David. He talks about, in the third paragraph, the mercy promised to our ancestors, that God has remembered his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our ancestor Abraham. And through this great history, this great account that Zechariah sees of God showing up again and again and giving them new beginnings, is this wonderful line: "To grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before God all of our days." Here, Zechariah knows that God is bringing light once again through his son, John the Baptist, just as we know as we approach Advent that the light of Jesus is coming back into this world. And let this text, as we approach Advent, remind us that we can serve God without fear all the days of our life. And then we get to this piece from Luke at the end, this crucifixion story. And again, I want you to focus for a moment, not on what we normally do, the agonizing death of Jesus, but instead on tender mercy that can take place even on the cross. Look at this passage here from Luke. He talks about a couple of things that are important. Notice that Jesus on the cross, there is that famous line, "Father, forgive them for what they do not know what they do." Even in his last moments, he is thinking about forgiveness. But then there is this encounter with the criminal right? He is being hung in the middle with a criminal on each side, one on his left and one on his right. And one of them, we don't know what they did, but we know it was bad because you didn't get crucified for just anything. And the one continues to deride Jesus and say, you know, help yourself. But notice here that Jesus' very last words to another human being are words of grace and forgiveness. He tells this convicted criminal, today you will be with me in paradise. He tells him what Julian would have said, all shall be well. Here on the cross, if Jesus is willing to turn to a convicted criminal who he has not known, who simply says, Jesus, remember me, and Jesus is willing to forgive him and allow him a place in paradise, surely we, as we enter Advent this year, can let go of all of our guilt, all of our doubt, whatever we carry, and hear Jesus say, I forgive you. Come and join me in paradise. Come and start this new year in a fresh way. Today, as we encounter these two texts, what I want you to think about is the fact that we circle this great story for the entire year so as to come back next week new and fresh and see the coming of the Christ child in a whole new way. Our journey in faith is not straight. Rather, it takes place in a circle, arriving back to where we started and knowing that place again for the first time. On this day, I pray that as we enter Advent, each and every one of us will find new meaning, new beginning in a familiar starting place, the place of Advent. Friends, let us sing of God's great mercy. You may be seated. So friends, once again, we come to a time in worship where we gather as one body, where we lift up our joys and concerns to God and to one another, that we might not just pray them in this room, but that we indeed might take them with us and pray them every day of the week to come. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, what joys and concerns do you have on your hearts and minds on this day? Tristan. Pray for safe travels for your brother and his daughter. And for your mother as well. Yes. We have both a joy and concern. Mary Jane lifts up the joy of a new job, which is always a good thing, and a concern over numbers of homeless in Pittsfield. They are, the churches there and the community are trying to figure out, especially in this cold weather, those numbers are ranging anywhere from 20 to 70 people who they think are right now out of shelters and living on the street. And so we lift up those who have no place to sleep in Pittsfield. We pray for Mary and for Rudy, that their time in New York might be healing and that they might be back home with us again soon. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Max. We will keep Don and his wife Peggy in our prayers for wholeness in the days to come. Other joys and concerns. We also keep your son Logan in our prayers. Then, friends, let us take a moment of silence that these prayers might seep into our hearts and onto our minds. Loving God, on this day we come together as one body to offer you our praise and our thanksgiving. We give thanks for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon each one of us on this church and upon our journey together. God, on this day we give you thanks for the blessing of this beautiful place in which to worship you. God, we ask that in its simplicity, may it inspire us to always seek you out above all things. God, we give you thanks for the blessing of the people who call this place home and who call one another family. We give you thanks for the calling that you have placed before us to be your holy people. God, on this day we ask that you might send your Spirit that we might truly serve and be served, that we might share what the Spirit is speaking to us and listen to the Spirit speaking through others, that we might have the courage to take help when we need it and the fortitude to offer help when we can. God, on this day we give you thanks for all the many and varied blessings of our lives, for food and for family, for health and for wholeness, for the harvest of our hands and of our hearts, for connection that eases loneliness, and for the love that binds us all together. On this day, we ask you to help us not just acknowledge our blessings that come from you, but instead recognize that you call us to be a blessing to others. On this day, God, we lift up those to you who are in need. And we pledge to lift them up not just with our words on this day, but with our lives and with our spirit. We pray for Logan and Don and Peggy, for Mary and Rudy, for all those who sleep out in the cold, for those who are traveling, for our mothers, our parents, and our siblings. And we pray for those who have good news, like new jobs and new starts. Finally, God, on this morning, we ask you to help us to accept your love and your grace and your mercy that you so freely offer. For we know that your love is broader than the measure of our mind. And that your heart, O God, is so most wonderfully kind. We ask you to open our hearts and our lives to your forgiveness and promise so that we might trust you at your word. And then our lives would be thanksgiving for your never-ending good. And let us all say together, Amen. Friends, the great hymn goes like this. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O God, from thee. On this morning, as we give this offering, let us do so with joy and thanksgiving and in that spirit. The offering will now be given and received. Loving God, we know that all you touch is changed. We know that all you touch is full of love and grace. And so, God, on this morning, we ask you to touch this offering. Touch it and change it. Fill it with love and grace. And God, we are bold enough to ask that you touch us too. Touch us that we might be changed, that your grace might wind itself deeply into our heart, and that your love might wrap itself around our mind. We ask all these things through your Son, our Lord, the one we know as Jesus. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, our time of worship here within these walls is drawing to a close, that our worship of God might begin in all new ways beyond them. Before we close our worship, a couple of invitations. First, of course, come through those doors and enjoy food, enjoy fellowship, and enjoy company, because it is cold out there. The second thing, speaking of food, we will be hosting the Thanksgiving worship service, and I anticipate there will be people there who have nowhere else to go on Thanksgiving. And so we are trying to put together some food for them, some desserts, some fellowship, a chance for them to hang out for a little bit longer. And so here's our request. If you find yourself baking this week, if you might make an extra pie or a few extra cookies or a few extra something and just leave them at the church sometime before Thursday, it will help us to be hospitable to all who come through our doors. Please let me know if that's something you are able to do. Friends, let us now close our worship in song. And now, friends, as you go forth from this place, know that God goes with you. May you find strength in hidden places. May you find hope in small graces. May you encounter love through human faces. May you find joy that knows no end and peace that surpasses all your understanding. And let the whole people say, Amen.
Thank you.
You're working lovely.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
You want to do it again?